cartoon shows planet Earth. As Central and South America fill our view, a title appears, Saludos Amigos.
Saludos Amigos, a fond greeting to you, a warm handshake or two.
People board a plane.
Here's an unusual expedition. Artists, musicians, and writers setting out for a trip through Latin America to find new personalities, music, and dances for their cartoon films. So, adios, Hollywood, and saludos, amigos.
A flight attendant stands at the door.
Saludos, amigos. A new day's waiting to start. You must meet it. Wake up.
3 days later, they glided into Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Then down to the Argentine, Buenos Aires.
In a cartoon, the plane flies into the lit-up city of Rio de Janeiro, then circles Buenos Aires and moves on.
And out across the Pampas.
As the plane flies over Argentina, two cows look up at it, then scatter.
At Cordoba, the party divided.
Passing through Cordoba, the plane becomes two planes.
Some flew over the Andes into Chile. The others went north to the Inca country, Bolivia, Peru, and Lake Titicaca.
In live action, a plane taxis.
Turning away from the modern cities to find the descendants of ancient Inca civilization.
A man wearing a hat and red poncho walks by the lake.
8,000 square miles of water over 2 miles above sea level. Lake Titicaca has been prominent in Inca history and folklore for generations.
Fishermen row small canoes with sails near the lake's rocky shore. They lower their sails.
Wood is scarce at this altitude, so the fishermen's boats are woven of balsa reeds.
A cluster of balsa reed boats floats on the water peacefully. In town, hundreds of people gather in a square.
There's always plenty of color and excitement here on market day.
The people, dressed in hats and ponchos, form a crowd outside a white building.
These folks come from miles around to trade their goods and swap some of the local gossip.
Two smiling women lay out items made of colorful fabric while others mingle.
The styles run to bright colored clothes and conservative hats. And a rumble seat for the baby. Just the kind of material the artists were after.
An artist's hand sketches a woman with a pot on her head carrying a baby on her back.
Their music is strange and exotic. Melodies handed down from their Inca ancestors.
An artist's hand sketches a seated child wearing a cone-shaped hat and playing a flute.
And walking haystacks are right in tempo.
A man follows a group of small donkeys bearing bushels of hay.
These little syncopated burros bear the heavy burdens here, because the more dignified llama will carry just so much and no more. When his quota is exceeded, that haughty aristocrat of the Andes calmly sits down and refuses to budge.
Two llamas sit on the ground.
Yes, a llama can make you feel awfully unimportant.
An artist's hand draws eyeglasses on a sketch of the two llamas. Now a colorful illustration shows a group of people and animals by the lake. Another colorful drawing shows people near the market wearing bowl-shaped hats.
All these impressions, together with the local color that had been absorbed, resulted in a little travelogue. Seeing the land of the Incas through the eyes of a celebrated North American tourist.
Now, Donald Duck sits on a sign, looking out over Lake Titicaca through binoculars.
Lake Titicaca is approximately 13,000 feet above sea level. Approximately. At this great height, many visitors are subject to altitude fever, or soroche.
That's not so.
The most common symptom is dizziness.
Dizziness? Oh, sure.
As Donald gets a woozy look on his face, his body fades and goes double. His body goes back to normal, and he falls off the sign, landing on his belly on the dock.
Often followed by a palpitation of the heart.
Donald's heart bounces under his shirt.
The ears have a tendency to pop.
His safari hat dances on his head.
And a peculiar ringing sound is heard.
The hat becomes a bell and bangs against his head.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Now, Donald approaches a reed boat.
The balsa, or basket boat, is constructed entirely of reeds, tightly bound together. It's built to withstand the fury of the elements. In fact, it seems to be impervious to practically everything.
Donald pulls a loose reed, and the boat unravels.
Except the inquisitive tourist.
Donald lands in the water, later in another boat.
Crossing the lake is often filled with adventure. A strong wind may arise very suddenly.
Donald raises the boat's sail, and the wind whisks him away.
And then stops suddenly.
Donald flies through the sail, skims across the water, and lands on shore in some bread dough.
In the village, we find this quaint old bakery, where the tourist may loaf around to his heart's content.
The baker kneads the dough, rolling Donald inside.
For the artist in search of local color, the marketplace presents an excellent picture of village life as shoppers and merchants bustle about the public square.
Villagers wearing hats and ponchos play instruments.
The precipitous terrain in this region offers no problem to these hardy folk.
A woman carries a baby down a steep mountain.
And we find the people here divided into two classes. Those who walk against the wind.
Donald snaps photos.
And those who walk with the wind.
A woman passes Donald, leaning backward. Donald imitates her and falls on his back.
Yes, wherever the visitor points his camera, he finds a picture fit for framing. The llama, or Yama, is an odd-looking individual with considerable personality.
A child holds a flute.
His master here exercises complete control over him with a homemade flute. Let's see how he responds to a few notes upscale.
The llama stands.
And downscale.
The llama sits back down.
Up. Down. Now to a circular pattern.
The llama moves in a circle.
Or reverse.
The llama walks backward as Donald watches.
Wow, wow, wow. It's amazing.
Donald snaps a photo while the child rides the llama. The llama moves to the sound of the flute, then lowers the child to the ground.
Note how the crude sign language being used by our tourist here is quickly interpreted by this wide-awake youngster.
A kiss, though.
He hands Donald the flute.
Gracias.
Donald bows.
Mucho gracias.
He removes his hat. As the child bows, water pours from a jug on his back into the hat. Donald puts his hat on, soaking himself. Then he and the child swap hats.
The visitor never seems to be satisfied until he tries on the native costume. And our tourist is no exception.
Donald holds the flute, and the child holds the camera. The llama shudders. His tail end bounces up and down, then crashes on the ground. The llama frowns as its body moves wildly. It tumbles to the ground.
The llama is obviously not a jitterbug, but if you want to explore this precipitous country, he'll solve all your transportation problems.
Carrying Donald on its back, the llama walks up a steep mountainside.
One soon becomes accustomed to the low, fleecy clouds that steal like silent ghosts across one's path.
Inside a cloud, they cross a bridge between two cliffs.
The gentle, undulating gait of the llama adapts itself very nicely to the swaying motion of the suspension bridge.
Suspension bridge?
Donald fearfully clings to the llama.
Far below us, we see the village.
Donald slides down the llama's neck, falls off, and hangs from the llama's rope harness.
The flute!
The llama yanks the rope, pulling Donald through the bridge. Its planks pile up under him. The llama catches the flute in its mouth.
Give me that flute, you big pigger kid!
The stack collapses, and Donald falls. He springs up and clings to the llama's neck. They watch the planks plummet hundreds of feet to the village below. As the llama walks, Donald sets planks in its path. Donald overshoots the llama. He rushes to place the wood back under the llama, who stands on the rope for support. Losing all planks but one, Donald hops on it to the llama, who jumps on the duck's back.
The traveler should be cautioned against any reckless behavior at this high altitude. Overexertion is dangerous. And above all, one should never lose one's temper.
Shut up!
The llama hops to the cliff on the other side, and the rope breaks. Donald ties the two pieces of rope together over his hands, but it comes undone. Donald hovers in the air, then drops.
And finally, the pottery market, where the visitor always drops in, seldom failing to accumulate a large collection of the native handiwork as he bids a fond farewell to the land of the Incas, Lake Titicaca.
Donald lands in a pot and paddles it like a boat across the lake. Now the plane takes off.
The flight across the Andes into Chile, over the highest mountains in America, plenty to see and remember on this spectacular trip. Since no cameras are allowed here, the boys had to cover this from memory and sketches.
Aboard the plane, men in suits type and sketch.
Impressions of Uspallata Pass from 16,000 feet. These sketches and the stories told of the pioneer mail planes that first flew this route started everyone thinking. First, a little plane began to take shape.
An artist's hand draws a cartoon plane with a smiling face.
With a personality all his own.
The cartoon plane winks.
All agreed that he had good screen possibilities. And before the plane set down at Santiago, his life story had begun.
A page from a script sits in a typewriter.
Once upon a time, in a little airport near Santiago, Chile, there lived three airplanes. The papa plane, the mama plane, and the baby plane. The papa plane was a big, powerful mail plane.
A big, frowning cartoon plane starts its propellers.
Mama plane was a middle-sized female plane. And the baby plane was a little boy plane named Pedro. Where is Pedro? Oh, there he is. Maybe someday he'll grow up to be a big plane like his father, who carries the mail between Chile and Argentina.
Pedro drinks fuel from a pump. His father takes off.
Like all fledglings, Pedro went to ground school to learn the ABCs of flying.
Pedro hurries to school.
He studied reading, skywriting, and arithmetic. He was taught anatomy.
A plane skeleton hangs from a hook.
He also studied history, Pedro, and geography. And in geography, he learned the mail route between Santiago and Mendoza, over the mighty Andes, past Aconcagua, highest mountain in the Western Hemisphere.
Mount Aconcagua scowls.
One day, the papa plane was laid up with a cold in his cylinder head. So he couldn't fly the mail. And the mama plane couldn't stand the altitude because she had high oil pressure. So she couldn't fly the mail. But the mail must go through. I hope.
Calling Pedro. Ready for flight 2 to Mendoza.
Now remember, Pedro, the mama plane said, stay out of downdraft and keep your muffler on tight.
Don't go there,
Papa's sneeze blows Pedro back.
Flight 2 leaving for Mendoza.
Wearing a hat and scarf, Pedro smiles and waits on the airfield.
All clear, Pedro. Let her go.
Pedro waves to his parents, then bounds down the runway.
Give her the gun, boy. Got her. Don't lose your flying speed.
Pedro bounces past the runway, then takes off wildly.
And so after a masterly takeoff, Pedro started on his first assignment, to pick up the mail at Mendoza.
Pedro flies between snowy mountains.
Each and every trip through this pass is an adventure in itself. At this altitude, you never can tell what... Downdraft.
Pedro nosedives, then rises up.
Hold out of that one, all right. handles himself like a veteran. His course carried him over the pass of Uspallata, where stands the statue of the Christ of the Andes, marking the boundary between Chile and Argentina. So far, so good. Not a cylinder missing. Pedro was flying on top of the world when suddenly his first view of that towering monarch, Aconcagua. So this was the big bully they'd warned him about. But he didn't scare Pedro, though. No siree.
Hiding in a small cloud, Pedro tiptoes past Aconcagua, then speeds off through the air.
Well, the worst is over. And from now on, it's clear sailing to Mendoza. Come in against the wind, Pedro. There's your mail. Easy now. Attaboy. He picked up his mail like a veteran. Uh-oh. Careful. That cargo is precious. Pedro was homeward bound and ahead of schedule. I'll bet his mother and dad will be proud of him. Just a natural-born flyer.
Pedro rolls through the sky with the mailbag draped over one wing.
Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Pedro flies upside down, then rises and falls, sweeping around clouds. He bounces off another cloud, then dives through yet another. He speeds toward us, turning away at the last moment.
Look out! Hope he got that out of his system. Now with good luck and a... Uh-oh.
Pedro comes face to face with a bird, then chases it.
I was afraid of that.
Hey, Pedro! Come back!
The little fellow had completely forgotten his responsibilities.
Pedro!
And suddenly, Aconcagua. Its rocky, snow-filled crags formed the face of a leering monster. The oil froze in little Pedro's cylinders, and his motor knocked with fright. All those warnings came back to him now. The treacherous cross currents, the sudden storms.
As Pedro slowly backs away, rain pours down on him. Pedro rushes away from Aconcagua, dodging lightning bolts. A strong gust of wind sends him tumbling backward. As Pedro shuts his eyes tight, wipers sweep the rainwater away. His vision clears, revealing Aconcagua straight ahead. He turns, clipping the mountain's rock. Lightning strikes him, knocking him against a rock. The mailbag slides off his wing.
Climb above the storm, Pedro! Never mind the mail! Let it go! Let it go! Forget the mail! Climb, Pedro! Climb!
Pedro dives and catches the mailbag.
Look out! Climb, Pedro! Climb! Get above the storm! I know you can make it!
As Pedro struggles to fly above the storm, the mailbag catches on a snowy ledge. He tugs hard, pulling it free.
Drop the mail! You've got to save yourself! More altitude! 25,000's all you need! Up! Up! Gun your motor! Now just a little more and you'll be in the clear! Climb, Pedro! Climb! Good boy! Good boy! I knew you could make it! You're all right now. Just level off and head straight to home. He's out of gas. Pedro! Pedro!
Pedro falls back into the clouds below.
He's gone.
Now, searchlights scan the night sky.
Back at the home field, Pedro's parents searched the skies in vain. They knew that he couldn't have held out this long. Their brave little son was gone. Another martyr to the mail service. Poor little fellow. His first flight. It's too bad it had to end this way. What was that? I wonder if it... No, it couldn't be. Wait. It is. It's Pedro!
Pedro bounces along the wet ground.
Pedro! Petey boy! Are you all right? Well, don't ask me how he did it. It wasn't exactly a three-point landing, but he did fulfill his mission. He brought the mail through. The mail. That all-important cargo.
The bag holds a single postcard.
Having wonderful time. Wish you were... Well, it might have been important. And he did bring in the mail.
Pedro wags his tail like a dog.
And so the papa plane, the mama plane, and little Pedro flew happily ever after. Sailing eastward from Chile, we crossed the Argentine Pampas. Just millions of acres of rich grazing land, stretching from the mountains to Buenos Aires, the third largest city in the Western Hemisphere. Buenos Aires is a beautiful city. This is the Plaza de Mayo, one of its delightful parks. The Teatro Colón, home of the opera. And the stately Congress building, center of Argentina's government.
In live action, cars drive around a square.
The tallest building in South America. The Edificio Cavanaugh.
Smoke plumes from the skyscraper's roof.
Yes, they were really impressed with the big city. But impressive, too, was the lure of the Pampas and the Argentine gaucho, as painted by F. Molina Campos.
A painting shows a horseman.
The party were guests at his ranch studio, where Señor Campos paints the gaucho with amazing detail and humor.
Walt Disney and other visitors look over many paintings of gauchos.
Seeing these pictures made them more anxious than ever to meet these caballeros in person.
In a sunlit field, a gaucho gracefully rides a bucking horse.
And they lived up to their pictures. A real Wild West show, but just part of the day's work for a gaucho. Sketching these paisanos in action was no easy job.
A gaucho on horseback lassos a horse running with a team while a crowd watches at a barrier.
But they did manage to get a good look at the gaucho's equipment. Silver coins decorate his belt, or tirador. The sheepskin saddle. Soft horsehide boots. This garment's called a chiripa.
It covers the front of a gaucho's lower body.
Here the visitors were treated to an asado. Choice cuts of meat. Mate, the Argentine tea. And wine from their own vineyards. True Argentine hospitality. A group of skilled dancers entertained the guests. Not the modern tango of Buenos Aires, but the country dances of the Argentine. The same tunes to which their grandparents had danced.
As guests sit around tables, men wearing boots with spurs and women in dresses dance on a wooden platform.
Notice how closely these steps resemble the old-time square dances of North America.
An artist draws on a pad while watching the dancers.
Gathering picture material here was a pleasure.
Later, an artist's hand colors in a sketch of the singing guitar player. A gaucho dances on the wooden platform, tapping his boots.
Another story was underway. And after seeing Señor Campos' paintings and all this colorful exhibition, we couldn't help but compare the life of the Argentine gaucho with that of our own cowboy. And they reached way back into Texas to find a leading man.
A cartoon.
From the windswept plains of Montana to the sun-baked banks of the Rio Grande, over countless miles of mountain and prairie, untouched and unsullied by the mercenary hand of civilization, roams a tough, hardy, and heroic breed of men, the North American cowboy. Strong, silent, and weather-beaten.
In the desert, Goofy sits on a horse.
Howdy, strangers!
This colorful cowhand of the Great West as his counterpart in the South American gaucho. Over land and sea, over rugged mountains and dense jungles, down across the equator to the lush, grassy pampas of the Argentine, the home of the gaucho.
Goofy flies to Argentina.
Now, the cowboys of both Americas have much in common, although their costume differs in a few minor details. We substitute bombachas for chaps, sombrero. Then there's the saco, the tirador, the chiripa, and the paruela. Botas, the espuelas.
A mirror drops in front of Goofy, now dressed as a gaucho.
Then finally we have the poncho, which just about covers everything.
A colorful poncho covers Goofy's body.
The gaucho's closest friend and inseparable companion is his horse,
or Pingo.
A horse kisses Goofy's head, taps it with its hoof, then dashes away.
Quickly, the gaucho reaches for his lasso. Twirling the rawhide above his head, he deftly tosses the noose about the horse's neck and easily subdues the spirited animal with the help of the snubbing post.
Goofy hits a post.
Or palenque.
The horse ties Goofy to the post.
Thanks to the palenque, or snubbing post, the horse is soon brought under control and is ready for the saddle.
The horse ties a bow around Goofy's head. Now Goofy carries a stack of saddle parts.
While it appears complex at first glance, the recado, or saddle, is really simplicity itself.
Goofy crashes into the horse.
In saddling the horse, or Pingo, the gaucho simply lays a foundation of suaderos and rosaderos, adding the cinchas, basto, sheepskin, pigskin, bridle, bit, and finally, the gaucho.
Goofy hops onto the horse's back.
When riding the range at night, the saddle may be quickly converted into a bed, or catre.
Bed?
Goofy lies down. The horse flips over and lies down, flattening Goofy under the saddle.
One of the gaucho's favorite sports is the asado, or Argentine barbecue. Over an open charcoal fire, thick, juicy, tender steaks are prepared. And amigos, it fairly melts in your mouth.
Meat melts in Goofy's mouth.
Guacanoodle!
The gaucho's method of eating looks quite simple, yet requires a certain amount of practice. The bread and meat are held in one hand, the knife in the other. Note the action of wrist and elbow as knife and food synchronize in deft, graceful rhythm. One, two, bite, cut, chew. One.
Goofy alternates cutting slices of meat and bread from his fist.
Yes, it is this wholesome diet that builds the gaucho's nerves of steel and muscles of iron.
Goofy swallows a piece of his knife.
And now the boleadoras, or bolas. The bolas consists of three lead weights covered with rawhide and is often used for sport such as capturing that swift-moving bird of the pampas, the Argentine ostrich, or avestruz. Unlike most members of the ostrich family, the avestruz is not equipped with ornamental tail plumage. Its slender legs make excellent targets for the bolas.
Did he say bolas? Caramba!
Goofy chases the ostrich on horseback.
Dashing at breakneck speed, the gaucho whirls the bolas round and round, faster and faster, and then the throw! Straight and sure it flies until it finds its mark, and the swift bird is captured and tied all in one operation.
The bolas bops the ostrich's head.
And now, to fully appreciate this remarkable feat, let us study the action through the eye of the slow-motion camera.
Note the grace and beauty of this light-footed creature in startled flight. With delicate balance and clock-like precision of timing, man and beast, moving as one, display a minimum of waist motion. As the whirling bolas are unleashed,
Goofy sits on his spurs. He flies from the horse.
Faster and faster. On and on they spin, closer and closer. Here they come. Be careful. Get out of the way. Hit it up. Watch it. Look out. Look out. Here it comes. Too late. Too late.
The bolas tie up Goofy, the horse, and the ostrich.
When night falls, the lone gaucho oft-times finds himself far, far out on the pampas. Listen to the melancholy strains of the triste, a sad romantic ballad.
Yo soy la blanca paloma que en el cardar de la loma.
The horse tearfully watches Goofy play. Goofy taps a skipping record player.
But the gaucho is not always sad. Come, let us dance to the lively beat of the chacarera, the dance of the farmer's daughter.
Wearing a dress, the horse springs up and dances toward Goofy.
Combining the minuet, the bunny hug, and a dash of jumping jive. The pampas version of cutting a rug.
The horse kicks Goofy into a post.
And el malambo, a solo number in which the dancer swings out with utter abandon, often described as perpetual motion below the equator.
Clapping, the horse dances toward Goofy, then flattens his snout with its hooves.
El Pala Pala. Traditional dance of the rooster and the hen.
Goofy and the horse dance together. Goofy spins and kneels, and his poncho falls into a campfire. As the horse leaps toward him, Goofy flees the burning poncho, and the horse crashes on the ground. Giving off smoke, Goofy runs around.
And now, as he sways to the gentle undulations of El Malambo, we gently waft our transplanted cowboy back to his prairie homeland. Here we leave him with warm and tender memories of his visit to the gay, romantic land of the gaucho.
Hasta la vista! Adios, amigos!
He flies through the air and lands safely in a bathtub, then waves to us. A view moves over a map of South America.
And now from the Pampas to Brazil and Rio de Janeiro, a city of amazing beauty in a perfect setting.
A city marked Rio sits by a large bay surrounded by mountains. In live action, the water ripples off the city's coast.
One of the best views of the city is from the top of Sugarloaf, overlooking Copacabana Beach, the playground of Rio.
People dot a large beach with white sand.
From Corcovado, the statue of the Savior looks out upon these scenes of active city life.
Pedestrians move down a city sidewalk.
This is the kind of atmosphere the artists were after. The outdoor cafes. The mosaic sidewalks that are found all over Rio. These designs are a tribute to patience and artistry, preserving a Brazilian tradition.
Hands sort through stacks of illustrations.
Here are some of the first impressions.
One drawing shows flamingos and another shows toucans.
This is what can happen to a big city when a crowd of cartoonists are turned loose.
Other drawings show people at the beach, boats on the water, and plants. An artist's hand colors a sketch of a green parrot.
Among the sketches was a promising actor, O Papagaio, the parrot featured in most of Brazil's funny stories.
The artist gives the parrot dapper clothes and an umbrella.
With the help of the wardrobe department, he becomes Joe Carioca. The music of Brazil. A samba. Rhythm instruments like the reco reco and the cabasa all help to beat out that intricate samba rhythm.
A man and woman dance.
A lively two-step with a bounce.
The woman's feet move in rhythm.
It's the same rhythm that captivates the whole city when carnival time comes around.
Now, a dancing crowd fills the street at night.
Carnival in Rio. Three hilarious days and nights. Singing, dancing, and celebrating. The spirit of the Mardi Gras and New Year's Eve rolled into one.
Colorful floats travel down a lamp-lit street.
Each year, hundreds of songs are written especially for this occasion. And the dream of every composer is to have his song chosen as a carnival hit. One number stood out as a perfect background for the first Brazilian film. Its author, Ari Barossa, has made use of the samba rhythm to paint a musical picture of his native land. Aquarela do Brasil, a watercolor of Brazil.
In a cartoon, a book cover reads Aquarela do Brasil, watercolor of Brazil. It opens to show sheet music. On a paper pinned to a drawing board, an artist sketches the outline of a tropical landscape in brown brush strokes.
Brasil, é o Brasil brasileiro, é o mulato inzoneiro, vou cantar-te nos meus versos.
As the artist adds a touch of blue paint to the center, a waterfall cascades and flows over the ground.
meu amor, terra de Nosso Senhor.
With quick brush strokes, the artist adds mountains, palm trees, and hanging vines to the landscape.
Pra mim, pra mim.
Pink paint drips from colorful flowers into a rippling blue pool. The pink streaks form two flamingos who dance a samba back and forth. The artist's brush paints red shapes onto yellow and white flowers. The shapes open like mouths. The brush paints fan-like green fronds growing from a palm tree. A bird peeks out from behind the tree trunk and opens its eyes wide. The palm fronds transform into the bird's body, then it swoops through the air. The artist paints bunches of bananas growing from another tree. A splash of black paint drips down to form the bodies of toucans, and the bananas change into their beaks. The artist paints a colorful flower featuring two yellow petals at the center, resembling a duck's bill. A bee lands between the yellow petals, which close shut. The flower dances, then turns into Donald Duck. Donald dances, and the bee flies out of his mouth.
What happened? Where am I? What's going on around here?
Donald dips his finger in a black brush stroke and paints a figure on a wall.
Boy, this is fun.
The brush splashes over Donald's face, then pushes him into a puddle of blue paint.
Uh-oh. What's that? A parrot?
The brush paints Joe Carioca in his dapper clothes with a hat and an umbrella. Joe shakes paint off his feet and dances, twirling his umbrella as he struts toward Donald.
Cavalheiro, aqui está o meu cartão.
Joe hands Donald a card.
Não, senhor. José Carioca, Rio de Janeiro, Brasil. Tem um dos seus?
Hã?
Tem um dos seus?
Matado.
He hands Joe a playing card, then flips it.
Muito obrigado. Donald Duck? O Pato Donald? O Pato Donald? Ora, venha de lá um abraço.
Joe hugs Donald.
Daqueles, um quebra-costelas, um bem carioca, bem amigo. Seja bem-vindo, meu
caro. Joe playfully pats his face.
Donald, veja você. Vamos sair por aí. Vai conhecer o Rio. Vamos a todos os lugares.
Donald checks a Portuguese-English dictionary.
Salgueiro, Laranjeiras, Botafogo, Andaraí,
Meia. He thumbs through a second dictionary, then a third, then a fourth.
Praça 11, São Cristóvão, Niterói, Paquetá, Avenida Atlântica, Leme, Leblon, Gávea.
Donald's head pops up from behind a stack of dictionaries.
Or, as you Americans say,
huh?
Let's go see the town.
Okay, Joe. Where do we go?
Donald. I will show you the land of the samba.
Samba? What samba?
Ah, the samba.
Joe taps his umbrella to his beak and demonstrates a smooth, lively dance. He twirls around, then puts the umbrella to his mouth. Umbrella moves toward Donald, popping open in front of his face. Joe pokes Donald, making his hat pop off. Joe hangs the umbrella from Donald's bill, then plays the hat like an accordion. Donald tries to play the umbrella like a flute, but it pops open and covers his head. Joe pulls the umbrella off Donald's head and returns the hat. As they walk, the brush paint steps beneath their feet while Joe plays the umbrella like a guitar. The brush paints a black and white mosaic floor beneath them. table in front of a cafe with a bottle and glasses on it. Donald and Joe sit at the table.
Não, cachaça? Que tal uma cachaçinha agora, hein? Saúde.
Donald tries the beverage. Donald's eyes widen and flash red and green. He breathes fire.
Muito obrigado.
Donald bounces with hiccups.
Donald, now you have the spirit of December.
The paintbrush draws hands playing instruments. In silhouette, Donald and a woman in a dress dance together in a window as neon signs flash.
Brasil lindo e trigueiro, é o meu Brasil brasileiro, terra de samba e pandeiro, Brasil.
Our view drifts out beyond the city. It becomes a painting on the drawing board. Words appear over a cartoon of planet Earth. The end. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Walt Disney Studios, voiced by Laura Post.